The epistle reading today is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is John 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it had been almost 100 years. Violence had been heaped up on violence. There had been one invasion after another. Uprisings and destruction were the word of the day. And yet, even in the midst of all of those tears and disappointments, the people had never given up hope. They were, after all, God's chosen. And as such, in those moments when all seemed lost, they held on to the promises that had been theirs since the time of Moses. Promises that they continued hoping that someday would come true. And then it happened. Rumors began that the Messiah had actually come. There had been rumors before, but this one seemed to gain in popularity. A traveling rabbi by the name of Jesus had been going around the countryside performing miracles and feeding the multitudes. He was teaching people, and the best thing, he was a constant irritant in the side of the religious and government officials. The people loved it. They loved watching him as he backed the officials into a corner. They loved it when he would reach out and he would touch someone who was declared untouchable and then dare the officials to say anything to him. Oh, they were convinced that this rabbi, this one, was different. And then there was the Sunday that he mounted the donkey and he rode into Jerusalem. At that moment, the nations knew he was indeed the Messiah, and victory was going to be theirs. The problem was he didn't seem to have read the instruction book, because he didn't do it the way he was supposed to do it. There were no military officials coming into the city, and the government still stood, and the guards still walked the streets. And so by midweek, those crowds that were convinced that he was indeed the Messiah began to turn against him. And as for the crucifixion, well, some simply said that if he was indeed the Messiah, he could have saved himself. And others, well, others just ridiculed him on all different fields. I mean, can you believe it? They thought he was the Messiah, and come to find out, he didn't even have a strategy for taking over the Roman government. As a matter of fact, it was rumored that just hours before the guards came and took him away, the only thing he told his disciples that they were to do was to love one another. Now, how do you love those who do everything in their power to destroy you? How do you love soldiers who delight in terrorizing you with the threat of violence? How do you love government officials whose entire job it is to keep you oppressed, to keep you down? And how do you love the religious officials who sell out to those government officials just so they can live the good life? That's probably why Jesus' commandment had never really gained widespread support. And it really didn't help his argument a whole lot when those who did try to follow his commandment either ended up dead or in prison. The people were convinced that the only way that they were ever going to win against the violence that was around them was if they met it with equal violence. Forget that talk about love. Let's get real. And so, in place of giving Jesus' commandment a try, they continued with their skirmishes and their invasions. And as Dr. Phil would ask, how did that work for them? Well, in less than 40 years after the crucifixion, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was in ruin and the people were in exile. And tradition tells us that it was in the midst of all of that that a man named John was arrested and sent to the island of Patmos. He heard the rumors. He knew what was going on in the outside world. It wasn't good. And then a strange thing happened. He began to have visions from God. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old earth was no more. I saw Jerusalem, the holy city coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, look, God's dwelling place is here among humans. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. God will be their God. He will wipe away every tear. And death will be no more. There will be no mourning or crying or pain. For the former things have passed away. It's amazing, isn't it? Despite all the failures of those who had been called to be Christ's followers, despite all the violence and the counter-violence, despite the fact that it seemed like no one was listening, God was not willing to give up on those people. And friends, God's not willing to give up on us either. According to John's vision, there will be a new heaven, a place where the people of God will live in peace for eternity. Amen. But before we get carried away with thoughts about walking on those golden streets and swinging on the pearly gates, we'd better remember the entire passage, the entire vision. Remember? There would be a new heaven and a new earth. And why would there be a new earth? Where was God going to be? Living with humans. God was going to come to earth, and God was going to walk down not the golden streets, but the paved streets. God was not going to sit in some earthly tower, but in the homes of the lost and the alone. So what's new about heaven? Well, as Eugene Peterson once wrote, we will enter heaven not by escaping what we don't like, but by the sanctification of the place in which God has placed us. In other words, as followers of Christ, our goal is not to get to heaven. Our goal is to help establish heaven wherever we go. It is to sanctify the place where we live, where we work, where we interact with each other, so that God's presence is there among us. Now, in case you haven't figured it out by now, the only way we are going to make certain that that place ever exists is if we do what? Y'all are slow on the uptake this morning. Love one another as God, as Christ loved us. Frederick Buechner tells a story about a friend of his who happens to be an Episcopal priest. It occurred one Christmas. They were having the traditional Christmas pageant, and the manger was on the top step of the chancel where it always was, and Mary was there dressed in her little blue robe like she always was, and Joseph was standing behind her with his cotton beard like he always did. During the service, the priest would read portions of the scripture and the congregation would respond with appropriate hymns. We know the routine, right? Now, the children of that congregation were spread out on the pews. They were dressed in their little white robes and they had their halos. And when the friend began to read about the heavenly host coming and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on peace, goodwill to humans," it was the intent that the children would get up and come and surround the scene that had grown to include a few ragtag shepherds and three wise men in bathrobes. But the problem is they misjudged how many children would be there. And so when it was time for the heavenly host to come, it was like the children would never quit coming. And you know children, they want to be as close as they can to the action, right? And so in the midst of this high holy moment, the kids were fighting with each other to get closest to the manger. The priest finally managed to stop the riot. And the heavenly host sang as they were supposed to, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to all." And there was a pause before he began to read the scriptures again. But in that pause, there was a small girl who had not managed to push her way to the front. She was probably one of the smallest of the host. And she had stood there through the whole thing. And suddenly, she cried out with frustration and sadness, "Just show me Jesus. Just show me Jesus." Beckner ends the story with these words: "Let Jesus show in these churches we have built for him, not Jesus as we have cut him down to size in our sermons and hymns and stained glass windows, but Jesus as he sat there among his friends with wine on his breath, crumbs in his beard, his heart in his mouth as he spoke in words that even a 9-year-old child could understand. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." How serious was Jesus when he spoke those words? Well, you may remember that the reading began, "And when he went out." Do you know who it was? Judas. He had just gotten up from the table, and he went out into the night. How serious is Jesus? You figure it out. My friends, love one another. And may a new heaven and a new earth be born this day. To God be the glory. And all God's children say,
Amen.
I have a confession. I didn't want to go to heaven. When I was a little girl, I didn't want to go to heaven. Mom found me crying one day, and she wanted to know what was wrong. And I said, "I don't want to go to heaven." And she said, "Well, why don't you want to go to heaven?" I said, "I don't know where it is. I don't want to go." So Mom reassured me that she didn't think I was going to have to go to heaven very soon. It must have been a really good day. She said, in place of worrying about getting to heaven someday, why don't you just try being good here and see what happens? So friends, why don't you just try being good here and let's see what happens? Let us love one another as he loved us, even when we turn against him. That's how much he loves. And if we love, heaven will come. So go in peace. Just try being good. And let's see what happens. Amen.